Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you, and happy Cinco de Mayo Tuesday, May the 5th, 2020. 5-5-2020. How about that? 16 minutes past the hour, and we have got a great program for you today. This is a day full of tradition, I guess we should say that. As has become our tradition for about the last 6 weeks now, we are going to be joined here momentarily by Marion Public Health Commissioner Tracy Kinsler to catch up on all things going on with COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic. In hour number two this morning at 9:15, we will be joined by the Mayor of Marion, Scott Schertzer, to discuss the same thing. And another tradition that we only do once a year but have done for, boy, about the last 5 or 6 years, we will celebrate today the 93rd birthday on the Cinco de Mayo of legendary Emmy Award-winning and Grammy Award-winning actress, a good friend of mine. I visited her home in Cape Cod, Pat Carroll, best known as the voice of Ursula in The Little Mermaid. She will be along this morning at around 9:30, 9:45. So a morning of tradition here today on the Cinco de Mayo. And having Pat Carroll on shows that in the midst of this pandemic, we can still have fun and we can still carry on with our tradition. Just a little social distancing, and since she's in Cape Cod and I'm here, I think that's probably enough distance for today. But we kick off the morning with really a person who's been a great help to me and all of us during the COVID-19 pandemic, Marion Public Health Commissioner Tracy Kinsler. Happy Cinco de Mayo, Tracy.
Thank you. Good morning.
How are things?
We've kind of been holding steady case-wise, so that's good. So hopefully, you know, we're going to start to, kind of go down that curve that we've been talking about every week. So it doesn't look like it right now because we got more inmate cases, but, community cases, have kind of been holding steady. We're only getting a few, in at a time.
Want to talk a little bit about the prison here, because this has seemingly become Marion's biggest problem during this pandemic. But in the community right now, what are the numbers at this point?
We had 129 as of yesterday.
And still only one death.
Right.
Right. In the community.
In the community, right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Most people who are testing positive of that 100-plus number, do we know what they're feeling like? Are most of them in the hospital, most of them at home? Do we know that right now?
Most of them are at home, and we are kind of running the gamut on how they're feeling. Sometimes when the nurses call every day or every couple of days, kind of depending on how they're feeling. And some people, they call them and they go, yep, I feel fine, and they're just kind of waiting out their quarantine period. Others are having, you know, more severe symptoms where they can't really breathe very well. They're really fatigued. They have a lot of muscle pain. And then you have kind of even more where the nurse is saying, I think it's best if you go to the emergency room where, you know, their temperature spike up to 104, 105. They really can't breathe at all. They're turning blue. So, you know, we kind of run the gamut there. And we have people who may go to the hospital for a day or two, and they help get their breathing under control, and then they're back home, you know, to kind of continue to ride out their illness. And then you have ones that are admitted for a longer period of time who kind of end up on a ventilator to help them breathe as they make their way through the, you know, all their symptoms and stuff. So it's all over the place.
Tracy, as we all know, the prison has become certainly a big deal here in Marion. We have seen the protest. We have seen the stories on the news. And this week we're seeing where prisoners are asking judges to be released because the problem is still not fixed. They're scared. People are dying at the prison. I know it's state controlled, but what do you make of this at this point?
I think, you know, it's almost an impossible situation is what it feels like to me. Now, I consider myself sort of on the outside looking in, just like everybody else, because I don't have any ability to go in there and do anything. And I don't know what I would do if I did have that ability. But I think that it's such a confined place with so many people. I don't know what they can do different. And so it's a horrible situation. And it being in this pandemic, there's horrible situations happening all over the world. And not to use that as an excuse, but, you know, I think that, you know, it's just a bad situation on all sides, you know, and I wish that it wasn't happening, and I wish there was something more that we could do to fix it. But, you know, we're kind of in the middle of it now, and just trying to ride out, you know, everybody's illnesses, and they're trying to do the best they can, you know, with what limited resources they have. I just don't know.
Because this kind of has become Marion's problem in a sense, because the numbers from the prison are being calculated with our numbers, in hindsight, knowing that the prison, because I can't think of any other at this point, is the only place, really, where you cannot social distance by law. When this all started back in March, was there anything we could have done? Anything we could have thought about to stop this from happening?
I don't know. I think they probably could have taken more precautions on checking people for symptoms as they came in, or sending people home. But when you do that, you're relying on people to tell you the truth, to report their symptoms, you know, and when people need to work, they're maybe going to say, I know I don't have coronavirus, it's just a, you know, allergies or something. And then, boom, you know, it spreads like wildfire in a place like that. So I think, you know, it kind of takes all of us to prevent an outbreak like that, not just the sort of establishment. As people go in and out, and it turns out a lot of people come in and out of the prison, guards, people, the food delivery people, all laundry services, there's a lot of people that go in and out of the prison who could have brought it in. So I think it's on all of us, and I think it's a good lesson for us as we start to reopen, to not take chances, to not go to work if we're feeling, you know, sick, to tell the truth if you have a fever, you know, and then for the employer to do the right thing and let you stay home and not penalize you for not being there. So it's, you know, it's a whole system. It's. I think the prison is, you know, that microcosm for what could happen, you know, out here in the outside world. It's about diligence and taking it seriously.
Tracy, a lot of people I talked to this week felt like they got mixed messages. We're trying to open the economy back up at this point in steps, but yet in the same week that that is going on, the Marion County Fair cancels for the first time in history, which isn't until the first week of July. The Prospect Fireworks Show, which is a big thing, cancels for the first time that I know in history. That didn't have anything to do with weather. Obviously, that's July. Things are canceling that are happening, you know, months down the road, and yet we're trying to open back up now. How do you think that message hits people? And do you think it was a good idea to close these things?
I think it probably would have happened anyways. It's kind of early, but I think that social distancing is going to have to happen for a long time. And places like the fair, where you can't social distance there, could set off an outbreak. So I think it's the right decisions. But I see where you're saying that it's contradictory because we're trying to open things up. But with July being so far away, we could have several little bumps along the way. We could be in the middle of an outbreak by, you know, July 4th, and then not be able to pull things back. So just knowing right now, okay, we can't social distance. We'll be all packed in like sardines at the fair walking around. Nobody would be required to wear a mask. So it's just better, you're better safe than sorry, I guess.
Well, and I think that's one of the messages that is kind of getting lost in this, because here we are, and we're trying to get back into society, and we're trying to go to the grocery store, and I believe retail opens back up next Monday. Masks are not mandatory, but yet they encourage you to wear them. Might we expect an outbreak when all this happens? When Mother's Day is Sunday, that's the biggest out-to-eat day of the year. I don't think that's going to be happening, but maybe more people will be out or together. I don't know.
Yeah, I think, you know, we keep saying in my office that so far, March and April have been sort of our warm-up to the real pandemic that's going to come now. And so we're getting ourselves braced for it to get worse. Because we are going to have people out and people are going to be doing things, and asymptomatic people are going to be spreading it without even realizing it. And so I think we're definitely going to see outbreaks happening over the next several months. And, you know, we're just kind of holding our breath and waiting to see where they're going to happen and how many people they're going to impact. But it's definitely going to happen, in my opinion.
That being said, when the initial outbreak happened, the response was, close everything down, stay at home. When an outbreak happens this time, do you think it will be more, okay, we need to stop doing this but not stay at home? How will that be handled?
I think now that they're starting to have more tests, they'll be able to kind of separate out. So if we have an outbreak in a one of our factories or something, we'll be able to do more testing and see who's actually been impacted by it and have them stay home so that the factory can then stay open with everybody who wasn't positive. So I think that's kind of the game plan. But in this first phase of the pandemic was about waiting, trying to hold off so that hospitals and first responders could have enough PPE to be able to respond when things get really bad. And so what we did was we kicked the can down the road to give them that time. So now the can's down the road, you know, and there's kind of no more kicking it. So now, you know, we have to just see how the pandemic plays out, you know, kind of going forward. So I don't think they're going to shut things down again. I think that would be really hard for them to do in the climate that we have now. People are really starting to get to the point where they don't want to see that happen. So I think it will be up to all of us to, deal with the outbreaks that we have in our communities.
And Tracy, not to put words in your mouth here, but is this to say that this is when we are going to see the things that we have heard about, that people are getting sick in large numbers, that the hospitals are going to be tested? This is why these triage units have been put up. Is this now the time we are going to see that?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's kind of what's coming. So with more testing being available, I think our numbers will go up. And then with people being able to come and go freely, they'll have a lot more contacts. So yeah, I think that we're kind of entering into this second phase where we're going to see more cases.
Two quick questions here, Tracy, because one of the big questions this past week was the masks. The governor said it was going to be mandatory and then realized he really couldn't do that, backed off of it, but certainly strongly encouraged it. Yesterday during the press conference, he was still talking about the masks. Dr. Acton was talking about the masks. Do you think people are going to wear them? I don't see much of a change since things have decided to open back up.
Yeah, I think it's going to take a while before it starts to become normal and people kind of get on board. I was just talking with somebody yesterday. I think when we start seeing them for sale in the stores rather than have to order them online and wait a month to get them, that's going to make a difference. And I also think if it hits home, that will make a difference. So if we start to actually see the numbers climbing in the community and it's not related to the prison, I think people will take it more seriously and wear the mask.
And Tracy, final question, because we got a lot of questions about this last week, and it pertains to our senior classes. We have 5 school districts here in Marion, and with what happened with the Friday Night Lights mess that we saw a couple weeks ago, they are planning, I do know this, to do graduation this year. I believe the date right now is set for the city schools, I believe, this is what I'm being told, May 17th, to do a parade in town. Is the health department going to let that happen? Has anybody from the schools approached the health department? Does the city know anything about that? We'll talk to the mayor next hour about that. But is there going to be any hang up with that?
I don't know anything about a parade. So after last week, we said that, you know, the guidance from the Department of Education and the Department of Health was that they recommended strongly that you have virtual graduations and that you don't do anything in person. And so that was the guidance we were going with. So shortly thereafter, they tweaked that guidance and said you could do a drive-in or have people come to the school and kind of go across the stage one at a time. So when they opened that up, we told the schools that they could do that. So we have been receiving plans from the schools. Yesterday I got a couple while they, you know, nailed down exactly what they're going to do that fits within those guidelines that ODE and ODH came out with. And so, you know, they're all kind of have their plans that they're making now, and I think they're getting ready to start releasing those. And while I, because of just what we just talked about, outbreaks popping up, I still would have preferred them to do virtual graduations. I'm not going to stop them because they're allowed to from what ODE and ODH says. And that's what we do. We follow the guidance that ODH provides to us as a local health department. So I'm going to be holding my breath and hoping that it goes off without a hitch for those graduation ceremonies.
So for what's being planned now, people are checking with you and those things can't happen. So essentially people can pull up and watch their child graduate, but only the child can be out of the car getting the diploma. Is that right?
Yeah, so they're kind of doing them in different ways. Some of them are doing it where they literally give you the diploma in your car. And I think that's probably kind of the route that the city schools is going to go because they have so many more kids. And then others are going to have you schedule an appointment. You could come into the school building with a limited number of people, wear your mask, go across the stage, have your picture taken professionally, and then go home, like a 5-minute appointment. Kind of one at a time. So they're kind of all over in terms of how they're making it work for their school district and the number of kids they have graduating.
You know, Tracy, a final question here, and maybe this seems like a silly, superficial question, but, you know, these high school graduation pictures hang on people's walls for years and years and years. Would you have to wear a mask when that picture was taken?
I was kind of having this debate. So for employees have to wear masks, but obviously if you're not an employee of a place, you don't have to wear masks. So I don't think, you know, I think they're allowed to take their mask off and have their picture taken. So yeah, I think they will be allowed to do that. And again, that's where I just hold my breath and hope that, you know, everything goes well and we don't wind up with an outbreak after this.
And at this point, nobody has contacted you about any kind of parade, but if they did, that would not be something that would be acceptable at this point. Is that right?
Right. Yeah, we don't want to have people lining the streets watching a parade go by. That's, you know, that you don't have the social distance and, you know, you're all kind of gathered outside. So, and that specifically is in the governor's order that is still prohibited parades.
It's a lot of good information because I know we've had a lot of questions this week. Tracy, I can't thank you enough for joining us, and I look forward to talking with you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tracy Kinsler, Marion Public Health Commissioner. Well, there you go. Hopefully we've covered the waterfront on this morning. Now, 35 minutes past the hour, and I know we've had a lot of questions about this graduation and everything going on with this COVID-19 mess that we're in. Does anybody want to call in now? Does anybody know anything more or have any more questions or have any comments about what Tracy said? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a ring. The phone lines are open here this morning. Would love to hear from you. So at this point, we did get calls last week. I don't remember if it was one or two, that I believe the date was May 17th, that they were going to try a parade. I believe the city schools were the ones in that, and now we know about that. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott. Hey. I didn't have a question or anything. I just wanted to say thank you. You said that you would ask her about the graduation stuff, and you did. So thank you for being a person of your word and following through.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. So there you go, and I'm glad we were able to discuss that. So that's the way it's going to go as far as graduations here in Marion County and Marion City are going to be. There will not be parades permitted. That would be something not okay, according to the health department and the guidelines that we have from the state at this point. But you can do a virtual graduation and possibly some other ways to handle this as time goes on. Any thoughts on that, give me a ring. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 37 minutes past the hour on this Tuesday morning, Cinco de Mayo. A little different Cinco de Mayo than we've had in past years. You know, this is normally a day where people go out and have a drink and maybe have some Mexican food. Will they today? You can't go out, but maybe they'll celebrate in their own way. I guess we hope. 740-383-9944. Phone lines are open. Anything to say on the high school graduations? And hopefully, if you have a senior, your high school will be contacting you very shortly to explain or give you their idea for what is going to go on with graduation within the rules that we now have. So, how about that? That is the way it goes. Now, what else do I want to talk about here this morning? Oh, okay, this morning was a much better morning. Now, yesterday I told you about my many, many debacles. And I've got to tell you, well, we're going to take the call here, then we'll come back with my many, many debacles here on WWGH. Go ahead, caller.
Well, supposedly El Campesino is going to have tacos and margaritas for carryout tonight.
Tacos and margaritas at El Camp's? Is that both locations or just the one?
I'm not sure. It'd be worth checking into.
Yeah, it's Cinco de Mayo. That's become a highly celebrated thing.
Well, this will traditionally be Taco Tuesday.
Well, I thought that this morning. I thought Taco Tuesday and Cinco de Mayo hitting on the same day. It's yeah, really a day themed. So margaritas
and tacos.
And tacos, El Camp's for carryout.
Yep.
Perfect.
Yep.
Well, hey,
all right.
Thank you.
Right.
Well, there you go. There's a little Cinco de Mayo update. And again, phone lines are open if you want to say or comment on anything. 740-383-9944. It is Cinco de Mayo. That is for sure. All right, yesterday my two debacles. Well, number one was going to McDonald's and giving, you know, every morning I get a diet soda. And it's $1.07, as many of you know. I think everybody knows that in Marion now because I've complained about it so much. And yesterday I had given them a dollar and a dime and was not given any change. Now, this is funny because so many people approached me yesterday, and I can tell you, I did not see a whole lot of people yesterday, but so many people approached me and commented on this yesterday, both good and bad, that this really must have been a thing. This really must have been something that got under people's skin, this three cents thing, whether I was being cheap for complaining about the 3 cents or that they thought they should have given me the 3 cents back. I appreciate everybody who came up yesterday and said something about that. It really turned into a hot button issue. But let me report this morning in the ongoing issue of this that I did go this morning again. And once again, I gave them a dollar and a dime, and I got back my 3 cents. Now, I will say this. The girl running the window this morning was a different girl. So maybe that depends who's running the window. But I will tell you, when I gave her my money, I thought that this might have been trouble. Because when I handed her the money, she took my money and said, thank you. And I thought, uh-oh, you know, here we go again. But no, she left the window open, and it was a little chillier this morning than it was yesterday, and she handed me back my 3 cents. So I'm 3 cents to the good this morning after going and getting my morning beverage. So thank you to the people at McDonald's. What a morning it is. But you know, for some reason, it's a dry morning this morning, and I've almost went through this whole beverage just sitting here so far. Okay, that was the one debacle yesterday that was fixed today. Now, here's the other debacle yesterday that was fixed today. Yesterday, I told you I woke up and I had no hot water, so I had to take a cold shower yesterday morning. Well, last night, someone reminded me, because I would have forgotten. I know I would have forgotten. When I got home last night, my brain was totally mush. So, I would have forgotten to reset the button on the hot water tank, because I thought that was the problem. And when I got home last night, when it finally popped back in my head, I went out in the garage, and the breaker had not popped. So I knew that the hot water tank did not pop the breaker, so we were still in business there, but the water was definitely cold. And I went in, and there's a red button on the hot water tank, and I took off the panel, popped the button, and as soon as I popped the button, you could hear the heat kick in. And this morning, when I took a shower, there was scalding hot water again. Scalding hot water again. So I don't know what's causing that. And this is the first time it's happened in 6 or 7 months. But does anybody know what would cause that? Because it's strange. Because obviously the water tank is still working, and obviously the reset button fixes the problem, and usually fixes it for like 6 or 7 months before I have an issue again. So I don't know what it is. And it doesn't break down immediately, obviously, because when I pushed the button last night like 8, 9 o'clock, and this morning when I took the shower at 6:30, 7 o'clock, it was fine. And the water was still warm and everything was good, so the tank must be functioning. And it didn't kick the breaker out. So that was a question we had yesterday. Did the breaker kick out? And no, the breaker did not kick out. So it doesn't have anything to do with the breaker. Does anybody have any idea what might be going on with this hot water tank? Let me know. Very warm water, though, this morning. We went from the ice rink yesterday, the ice rink chill, to scalding hot water this morning. Those are the two polars that we've been on the last 2 days, Monday and Tuesday this week. But it felt so much better. I got under the scalding hot water this morning because after being in that freezing cold shower yesterday, the scalding hot water was the way to go this morning as far as I was concerned. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, did you check that limit switch to see what the temperature was?
You know, I did, and it's, what was it set at? It wasn't set very high. It was definitely not at the top. But, you know, the breaker didn't pop, so I don't know why the thing reset without the breaker popping.
Well, your reset on the heater is actually a breaker. That's a safety switch there.
So
and the breaker would be out of the picture.
So what do you think would make that? Because it's basically, it's just a button. You know, it's a red button.
Right.
You push it, and it resets it, and it turns it back on.
maybe that reset is that breaker is bad on the hot water tank.
But
it's probably set at about 15 amps, and if there's more than 15 amps going through there, then it's kicking it out. So.
Well, see, and I wouldn't. What would cause a hot water tank to have the amperage go up?
It's hard to say. It could be a surge in electricity, trying to push more electricity through that reset, and it kicks it out.
Well, it's interesting because, like I said, this has happened before, but it's like 6 or 7 months, and then once you reset it, it's fine for another 6 or 7 months.
So if you understand breakers and fuses, they kick out a few times and they weaken.
They'll
kick out easier. So if you look on your fuse panel, you'll see a little space there where it says on and off, and sometimes it'll get a little darker where the breaker has gotten weaker. And that's the same thing would be with that reset switch, because that's basically what that is, the breaker.
Well, it's interesting because I wonder how long something like that will last, because as soon as you pop it, you know, you can hear the heat start to come in again.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's an interesting problem.
Alrighty.
Hey, thank you. And again, the phone lines are open. If anybody has any ideas, feel free to give me a call 46 minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. The dreaded water tank, electric hot water tank, that caused me to have a cold shower yesterday morning. But the same hot water tank, I have to say, I fell back in love with the tank this morning because it was putting out the scalding hot water. So thank goodness for that. Monday, we go from no change at McDonald's, I did not get my 3 cents, and a freezing shower, to Tuesday, where I get my 3 cents back without even asking, and a scalding hot shower. So it's really, really good at this particular point. Oh, and yesterday, I have to say that I also got I'm in really good shape now. I got a styptic pen for, you know, cutting yourself when you're shaving. So now I probably will not any longer have these blood issues. Now, here's the interesting thing when you get something like that. Not that you want to cut yourself shaving, but it has happened so many times. You know, and it happened a lot recently where I cut the side of my face, I cut my chin, you know, just the little trickles of blood. Now that I've got this pen, you know, you can't test it out until that happens. And not that I'm going to cut myself to see if it happens, but I'm kind of excited the next time it happens to see what goes on. Now, it's my understanding that you wet it a little bit and then you put it on your face. And then you wet it again, I guess, to get the blood off the end of it. Is that how the styptic pencil works? I don't know. But I got, you know, and by the way, I did not buy this because you cannot find them in any store at this particular point. So somebody bought this for me, so I appreciate that. But is that how the styptic pen works? Because I'm interested to give this a tryout now to see how this goes. So next time I get in the shaving danger, I will have the styptic pencil. And it's not called a septic pencil, which I thought it was for a long time. And I think it's a styptic pencil. Now, what does styptic pencil mean? I have no idea. But I will say that, now remember, I do not want to cut myself shaving, but next time it happens, I'll be excited to use the pencil. So that is a lot of fun in my particular mind. All right, here, what else is there to talk about? We've talked about the fixer-upper at McDonald's. We've talked about the shower being fixed. We've talked about the Styptic pencil. Let's see, what else do we have here? There's some other things I wanted to talk about this morning. What else do we have? You know, I write like little bullet points down here in the morning, and then I look back at the bullet points like 50 minutes later, and I think, what in the world was I talking about? Okay, I know what that was now. That was the Styptic pencil. Okay, and along we go. Oh, you know, somebody asked me yesterday about the bread pudding and the lemon bars. And no, I do not have the lemon pudding or the breading or the bread pudding and the lemon bars as of yet. I have no recipes. I have nothing. I know I could Google it, but I'm trying to look for a nice home recipe for lemon bars or let's see here, lemon bars or bread pudding. So these are the things that I'm looking for: lemon bars and bread pudding. Now, the bread pudding thing dates back to the old smorgasbord restaurant here in Marion, which I thought was great, but they were very well known for their bread pudding. And somebody one time told me the person who used to make the bread pudding and do things for the smorgasbord had passed away, but I don't know that they have. Does anybody know that? And you know, bread pudding, I'm sure there are recipes all over the place. But any good bread pudding recipes or any ideas on the person who used to do the bread pudding for the smorgasbord or anything of that nature at this particular juncture? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Or is there anything else in the world that you would like to talk about? Now, I was talking yesterday about shopping because this is a thing, like the last week. I told you that I'm a remorseful shopper, that when I go shopping, I always tend, for some reason or another, to be in the store, and then for some reason, I do not buy the item. I don't know why. I think I won't need it. Something weird happens. So the last week or so, I went to the store last Thursday. I went to the store on Saturday. I have been a less remorseful buyer to the point now to where I have ordered things on the internet. Now, why am I telling you this? Okay, here's the reason. One of these things I ordered on the internet, I think, will be here probably within the week. But the other thing I ordered says expected delivery date July. Now, what is this? Now, why in the world would it be expected delivery date July? Now, when I asked the company about that, what they said was, they said, well, right now we're just giving ourselves a lot of leeway because of this whole COVID mess, and you'll probably get it a lot sooner. But I don't know that for sure. That doesn't seem right. Is anybody else having any issues with delivery like that? And maybe your packages are showing up anyway, even though it says expected delivery date July? Has anybody faced this? Give me a ring. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I would love to hear from you here this morning on WWGH Radio. Always a lot to talk about. It's going to be fun next hour to celebrate the Cinco de Mayo. Our Cinco de Mayo tribute around here is celebrating the birthday of Pat Carroll, which now we have done. I wish I would have looked it up last night. I know we have all of that in the archives here, but I don't remember when we started that. I know it was before her 90th birthday, so it might have started 4 or 5 years ago, because today she turns 93. And I spoke with Pat yesterday, and Pat is so funny. I called her up and I said, well, happy early birthday, Pat. And she was very gracious in that. And I said, well, Pat, can we do our annual thing that we do every year where I call you up on your birthday and we just see how you're doing? And she said, oh, no problem at all. And I said, okay. I said, well, I'm going to call you around 9:30. And I can't tell you exactly what she said, because you cannot say it on the air. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
I have a question about yesterday, last night's Facebook podcast.
The Facebook Live.
Yeah, my computer, you kept, like, freezing up. So was it on my end or your end?
Well, you know, I did see your question that came up, and I know there were other people watching, and I did not get any other complaints. And actually, the video is still up there on my Facebook page, and if you go back and watch it, there don't seem to be any glitches in it.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
Well, I just didn't know.
Well, because I never really know. How did the audio and video seem during that broadcast?
When it was playing on my computer, it was playing well, but it would just like freeze up, and I don't know, maybe that little circle thing that comes on your screen, like it's starting to. I don't know how to explain it.
The week before, it dropped out right in the middle, and I'd never had that happen before.
Okay.
Because I've done this like 5 or 6 times before, but it completely stopped on my end when it dropped out, and I had to restart it.
Okay,
but,
well, that's kind of what it would stop, and then like a couple, I don't know, maybe a minute or so later, it would start up again. So I was just wondering if anybody else had problems.
Yeah, I did not get any other complaints. And like I say, the video is there now on my Facebook page to watch in its entirety. And I did not see any glitches in the video.
Okay.
Well, thank you for listening and watching last night.
Sure.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, 740-383-9944, 57 minutes past the hour. See, you cover all ground. Podcasts, Facebook Live, radio show, you broadcast everywhere. 57 minutes past the hour here on this Tuesday, Cinco de Mayo, and it is interesting that Taco Tuesday and Cinco de Mayo are on the same day. Now, don't forget, we will have the mayor next hour, as we do each and every Tuesday. He'll be on for about 10-15 minutes when we start the hour, depending on how long the conversation is and what we have to talk about. And we will hopefully be joined by legendary actress, Grammy and Emmy Award-winning actress, best known for her role as the voice of Ursula in Disney's The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll, celebrating her 93rd birthday today on the Cinco de Mayo. You know, Pat has her voice has never changed over the years. You know, as people age, a lot of times the voice will change, and that's interesting. You know what else is also interesting? Yesterday morning, we had a conversation about me getting some breakfast here in the studio. Now, I did not ask for the breakfast, but I think the person said that it would not be in the 8 o'clock hour, and we are still in the 8 o'clock hour, so, you know, I can't fault anybody yet. But just to give you a little update here, the food has not arrived at this particular juncture. So, I don't know where we're headed with that. 58 minutes past the hour. Now, I did get a message this morning from that person saying that there might be some issues, so if they don't show up, that's okay. I don't have any qualms about that. But, you never know. You know, there's a funny story yesterday. Last night? Yeah, it was like later last night? Yeah, 9 o'clock or something like that, 9 or 10 o'clock, that maybe I'll tell, because we're about to run out of time this hour, that I will tell next hour. Don't forget today, coming up on this station, the Adam the Computer Guy show 2 to 3 today, Voice of a People with Linda Sims, 4:10 to 5, and the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker, 5:10 to 6 p.m. today, all on this station, Marion, Ohio. WWGH Radio, where the G stands for great programming, or at least that's what we hope. We hope you're enjoying yourself wherever you are this morning out there in listener land. Remember, you can listen online, WWGH1071.com, or by downloading the free TuneIn app and searching WWGH. We are coming up on the break, but we're coming back with the mayor and Pat Carroll need-to-know information and a fun visit with one of my favorite people on the planet. Don't miss either one of these things, and you on the toll-free line. Both of those won't take an hour. Stay tuned.
101.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For legendary owner of the Marion grocery store, Smith Cardinal, Bob Smith.
Well, at the height of, you know, sealing things and everything, the height of one time, well, two times is a big story. We had been in teaching us to know how to